All right, so welcome. This morning we're starting a new series. And the series that we're starting this morning is what I've called You Shall Receive Power. You shall receive power. Now, Jesus said to his disciples in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 8, I'll read. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. So this month, we want to look at that statement that Jesus made to his disciples and how it relates to us now. So for the next few weeks in the month of June, that's what we'll be looking at. You shall receive power. So before we look at what we're going to be focusing on this morning, I want to look at that statement and that portion of scripture, Acts chapter 1 verse 8, and highlight a number of things there for us to consider. So the first thing is this, or the first thing that we're going to consider this month is, what is power? What is power? What power is Jesus talking about here? I don't know about you, but there are times that I go on YouTube and I'm watching like these videos about maybe like the Christian crusades or someone's having a crusade, and power in some instances, some people think power in some instances is when the preacher says, okay, now everybody stand up and receive, and everybody falls down. That's great. But what kind of power is Jesus talking about? Maybe that could be a demonstration of power, but he's talking about power that relates to you as an individual. Power that translates to your life on an everyday basis, not when you're in a Christian crusade and they receive the power. That's great, but no, this is talking about power that you need on a daily basis. So what is power? We'll look at that in maybe a week or so from now. The second thing that this Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says is, you shall receive that power. So the question now is this, how do you receive that power? Have you received that power? What is the position that you need to be in to receive this power that Jesus says we desperately need? Amen? Now, the second one, or the third thing is, in this Acts chapter 1 verse 8, before we start the one we're looking at today, is it says you receive this power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So what we want to look at is, who is the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? And again, I don't want to sound a bit cheeky, but I think a lot of times when we, you know, we look at, you know, we attend these meetings and it's like the Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is here anyway. And we sometimes associate the Holy Spirit with a form of mysticism, a form of mystery. Like, oh, this Holy Spirit person, what is the, you know? We're going to look at that. And the last thing we'll look at is this. He says, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus begins to say something to his disciples. He says, look, I have work for you to do. You are going to take the gospel from where you are, your Jerusalem, to Samaria, to Judea, and to the ends of the world. However, it's not something that you can do in your own power. It's not something that you can do by yourself. You need power. I'm going to be American this morning. Look at the person who's sitting next to you and say to them, you need power. Oh my goodness. Tell them that you're not talking like an American. Respond. Tell them you need power. You know what I'm going to do next, right? I'm going to ask Sister Tisha to come here and play keyboard for me. So that when I say, you need power, so that we can, you know. So those are the things that we're going to be looking at in the next few weeks. And my prayer is this, that it's not going to be one of those sermons that we hear and at the end of the day we say, oh, that was a good sermon. Pastor B really spoke quite well about that. No, we want it to impact our lives so that as we experience the Word of God, it does something to our lives in a practical manner. Do you understand? In a practical, everyday manner. So today, we're going to look at one of those five things. And I thought best to start with, who is the Holy Spirit? What did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? So that we can have a clearer view of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And like I said, I'm not going to focus on the spectacular today. The Holy Spirit does a lot of things. He's the one that works miracles through us. He's the one that does all these things, which is great. We will look at that in the future. But today, I want to look at the Holy Spirit from an individual, everyday basis. How does the Holy Spirit relate to you? What is the Holy Spirit doing in your life? Do you understand? And I will look at a number of things. So today, we're looking at who is the Holy Spirit? What did Jesus say about the Holy Spirit that we need to take note of? I'm going to read from the book of John chapter 16, verses 5 to 15. It's a long read, but please follow me. Jesus is about to go. He's about to be crucified, and he tells his disciples, I'm about to be crucified. I'm leaving. And they panicked. And I'm sure they were like, my goodness, who's going to be paying our rent? There was a time that the tax collectors, the HMRC, not the HMRC, by the way, they came to Peter and said, we're going to pay your tax, pay your taxes. And in those days, it's not like now that what you get from the HMRC is red letters. It's like, oh, goodness, why are these people sending me all this red? In those days, if you didn't pay your taxes, they could bust into your house, grab your child, take your child to prison or imprison you as well. So you can imagine we're sitting here like this. Transport yourself back to 2,000 years ago. And suddenly, we now see people who come in and say, sorry, who's Sherry? Like, who are you talking about? And this is, you haven't paid your taxes. Not you, though. I know you're a good citizen. You pay your tax. And they say, what? And she's like, oh, she's trying to explain to them that I paid my taxes. And they just say, who's that guy beside you? They grab Brother Bua. Don't worry, this is not 2,000 years ago. And they take him off. And we're all begging. We're saying, oh my goodness, it's such a child. And they say, what's your name, by the way? And they Google you. And they say, by the way, you haven't paid your taxes. Follow me. It was brutal. And Jesus in that time just told Peter, go to the river, cast your rod. When that rod comes out, you find it will catch a fish. Open the mouth of that fish, money, pay your taxes. There was a time that they were hungry. There was no food. There were 5,000 people. And they're like, how do we feed these people? Jesus looks at them and he says, what do you have? And they say, a few fish and a couple of loaves. He says, no problem. They sit down, he multiplies it. Peter's mother-in-law was ill and Jesus visits and he says, what's wrong with your mother? She has a fever. Jesus touches her. Fever disappears. People come. So they were living a cool life. I mean, if it was me, I mean, come on. I was like, man, Jesus, I need some money. Like, okay. So Jesus was taking care of them. So you can imagine in that scenario, Jesus now comes one day and he says, by the way, guys, I'm leaving. They asked him, first of all, where are you going to? You're not going to Dubai, are you? Where are you going to? They asked him that question. Like, it was a shock to them. He now began to explain to them that I'm going to be crucified. Then they realized that this is serious business. And they began to panic. If it was you, would you panic? I would. Because I'd just be thinking that, man, all this, who is going to feed me? Who's going to take care of all these things? So they panicked. Who is going to help us, they said. Then in John chapter 16, verses 5 to 15 that I'm about to read now, Jesus begins to calm them down. And this is the way he does it. Let me read. It says, but now Jesus begins to speak in John chapter 16, verses 5. It says, "But now I am going to him who sent me. None of you ask, 'Where are you going?' Rather, you are filled with grief because I said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate," or another version says the helper, "will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment, and about sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you see me no more. And judgment, because the prince of this world now stands judged." Verse 12, "I have much to say to you, more than you can bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you." So Jesus begins to tell them that, look, don't panic. Why? Because it is better for me to go and for the Holy Spirit to come. Because when Jesus was on earth here, he was restricted to one physical body. Can you imagine if Jesus was still around now and you wanted to see him? First of all, you would have to travel to Israel. Probably take your number and wait years, because everybody would want to see Jesus. And Jesus says, look, let's do it in there's a better way. I will leave. However, I will send another helper, he calls him, the Holy Spirit. And these guys didn't really understand what Jesus was saying, I think, at that time. But Jesus says to them, I will send you the advocate, another helper. So the question now is this. If Jesus is saying this to them, and there's no crusade, there's no healing crusade, they're not saying, receive power. Jesus was meaning that the Holy Spirit would be with them and walk with them the same way Jesus walked with them on an everyday basis, to help them, to direct them. Do you understand? So this morning we're looking at, who is the Holy Spirit? What is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life and in my own life? We'll look at a number of points this morning. So the first thing that we see about the Holy Spirit is he brings comfort to us. He brings comfort to us. Now, Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Acts chapter 9, verse 31, I read. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, Galilee and Samaria had peace and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They were multiplied. Let me read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. It says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So the first thing we see as a work of the Holy Spirit is bringing comfort to you and I. Bringing comfort to you and I. Now, what does that mean in context? This means that you and I will go through life and we will experience life in its fullest. Experiencing life in its fullest means that sometimes you will experience challenges that will wear you out. You will experience things that will make you sad. You will experience things sometimes that is like, man, how do I deal with this matter? At that time, Jesus says, the Holy Spirit can bring comfort to you. Paul and his mates. His British phrases are just... If it was in those days, they would use his mates. Paul and his mate, and his fellow apostles. They were preaching the gospel and they went to Asia. I mean, this man suffered. At one point, they dragged him out into the, imagine dragging somebody out to the streets. They beat him to the point where he nearly died. In fact, they left him for dead. He was shipwrecked. He was traveling from place to place. There was a time that he was on a ship, and the ship broke into pieces, and he was hanging on the wood in the middle of the ocean. Don't let that discourage you if you plan a cruise, by the way. In those days, the ships were not properly... This man saw a lot. And there were times that he said in Corinthians that there was a time that the pressure was so much that he said, we despaired of life. That means they were so pressurized sometimes that it was like, look, is this life really worth it? Maybe I should just give up and check out. Jesus says, anytime we experience that kind of pressure, anytime you experience any form of sadness, anytime you are in a position where you are like, what do I do for crying out loud? This thing is palpitating my brain. I was at home and I was under so much pressure. There was so much going on in my life at that time. And I just said, do you know what I'm going to do today? I just went to our kitchen. My daughter is smiling. I went to our kitchen, right? Opened the fridge. I said, I don't know, someone cooked like loads of stew and all that. Brought out the stew, fried a number of things. I fried a number of things. I cooked a number of things. I got Coca-Cola, which you shouldn't be drinking too much often. And I said, today, I'm just going to eat all these things and go to bed. And that's what I did. I was under so much pressure. But I remembered also that there is something that good food, Coca-Cola, all these things cannot do. Even advice from friends, even when people say, oh, sorry, I hope you get better. All those things are great. However, there is a kind of pressure that those things cannot relieve. However, the Holy Spirit supernaturally can bring comfort to you and I in those situations. And I realized that and I said, oh man, anytime I feel like that, I just say, God, I'm fagged out. I'm really tired. Holy Spirit, please help me. And I expect that the pressure that I feel at those times will vanish. It takes practice, I think. So now, I'm cool. I mean, I still face pressures here and there. So Jesus was telling these people, the Holy Spirit is not just for you to fall under the anointing, which is great, but he is here to bring comfort to you and I, to help you and I, so that you're not going through life on your own, so that the pressures of life do not squeeze the joy and the life out of you. The Holy Spirit can help you and I, and he does help you and I if we become conscious of that. So Jesus told them, let me go so that the Holy Spirit can come to you. So we see that one of the things that he does is he brings us comfort. So anytime you're stressed out, ask God to help you. Ask God to bring comfort to you and let him do so. It's like, man, will the Holy Spirit give me money to pay my bills? No, he won't give you money to pay your bills. But he will relieve you of that pressure that you feel sometimes. The Holy Spirit brings comfort to us. The second thing, Acts chapter 4, verse 31. It says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. The second thing the Holy Spirit does for us is he gives us boldness. boldness in preaching the gospel and boldness generally speaking. So in the book of Acts chapter 4, the disciples had been threatened. Peter and his mates had been threatened. They said, if you preach the gospel in this city again, we're going to kill you. And they threatened them. And they went back and they prayed. And they began to tell God, these people are threatening us. They said if we preach, so on and so forth, they're going to deal with us. And something interesting happens. The Bible says that God released boldness to them by the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean? If at any point in time you feel nervous, you feel like, man, how am I going to do this thing? Or how am I going to speak here? Don't worry, you're in good company. Everybody feels that. Everybody feels that. But the Holy Spirit can help you and I. I remember then when we used to, well, which we'll carry on doing, we'll go to the city center and put our stand there, Cabot Circus. And we'll just put our stand there and people will come and they would ask questions sometimes. We get some rude people sometimes, but just once in a while. And and I said, oh, church, we're going out to talk to people. And I just scanned the room and everybody in church just, they took their eyes away like, Pastor Benson, I ain't going nowhere. I am just going to stay in church. And I remember this particular sister, I'm not going to look in her direction so she doesn't know. And she said, oh, man, Pastor Benson, I can't really do this thing. I said, don't worry, you just come. We put our stand, you sit down, and that's it. And she came the first time, she sat down, eyes down. I was just looking at her. The next time she came, eyes up. The next time she came, she was standing. The next time she came, she was talking to people. I said, yes, that's the Holy Spirit working. So when next I say we're going out to Cabot Circus, all of you will follow me. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that these things that we feel sometimes, like we're a bit nervous, we're a bit afraid, it's fine. God knows that. He knows that we experience these things. But the Holy Spirit can help you and I supernaturally to overcome that kind of nervousness. Or maybe you're even going for an interview and you're like, man, Lord, I want this job badly. And you're panicking and you get there and they say, good morning, it's nice to see you today. So you're applying for this job and all that. Can you tell us about yourself, please? And you're so nervous and you go blank. And like, tell you about myself. You're in an interview, right? Yes, I like jollof rice. I like fried rice. You're blank. I like chicken. And the interviewers are like, excuse me, sorry, what does jollof rice and chicken have to do with the job you've applied? And they're like, oh my goodness, you know, it's fine. All you need to do is ask God to help you to be bold. So these things that I'm talking about are things that we go through on a regular, everyday basis. And God wants to help you and I. He actually does want to help you and I. I'm telling you. And I'll take one more, then we'll just pray a bit. John chapter 16, verse 13. It says, he reveals things that are to come, and he will make them known to you. So if I read John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, but when the Spirit of comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So we see the third thing here, that the Holy Spirit reveals the truth of Christ about Christ and the Bible to us. That means when you're reading the Bible, it might not make sense in the sense of your life. But what the Holy Spirit does is he would take that scripture and make it make sense in your context. So really, the Bible is not just a storybook that we read about Peter, John, and all these people. Yes, we can know about them, but the Bible is alive. The Word of God is living. So the Word of God can speak to you in your particular situation. And the Holy Spirit can help you as well. I remember a while ago, I think I've given this example. This was years ago. I got this job. And when I was at the job interview, I think it was a contract or something in those days. And they asked me, this is what we want to do. I said, easy. I mean, I didn't say easy. I said, oh, I can sort it out. They said, this system is quite complicated. This thing that we want you to do and all that. I said, oh, done it before. Are you sure? Oh, easy. Can you? Oh, I can deal with it. Then I started the job and I was excited. And I had a team of guys with me, like five guys, or four guys. And we started the job and I was designing the thing. I said, okay, we'll program it like this and all that. And we're doing it. Everybody was excited and we clicked play. The thing didn't work. Then my manager comes and says, so how is it going? I said, oh, we're on it. We just a few tweaks. First time. He comes a couple of days later. Oh, how is it going? We're quite excited about what you're doing. Is it working? Can you give me a demo? I said, oh, we're just a few tweaks here and there. Comes the next time, and he comes like quite subtly. He's like, what's going on? Are you guys okay? I'm like, in my mind, I said, if this guy comes next week and we haven't got this thing done, it is going to be contract terminated. And I think, my goodness, I have mortgage, I have children, I have this thing. I need this job. And the guys that I was leading, they were panicking as well. They were like, oh, what's going on? Do you know what I did? Then this scripture came to my mind, that the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. He reveals things to come. I said, God, this scripture has to work for me today. Because when my boss comes, I don't want any story at all. I went to the toilet, closed the door, and I knelt there. I said, God, John 16, it says the Holy Spirit reveals truth to us. I've been trying to make this thing work. It's not working. What is the answer? And straight away, a thought dropped to my mind. I said, that's weird. I got out of the toilet, flushed and washed my hands. And I went to my desk, put the thing inside, enter, and it worked. I said, my goodness. Then my colleague said, oh, how did you get it working? I was smiling. I said, man, Holy Spirit. Too. My boss came. So how is it going? I said, oh, we've got it all sorted. I can do a demo tomorrow. So what am I saying here? I am saying that really the Holy Spirit can help you and I in those situations. So Jesus was telling these guys that, look, don't panic. You will experience challenges in life, but one, the Holy Spirit will bring comfort to you. Two, He will give you boldness. Three, He can reveal things to you. He can teach you the Bible, and He can teach you your job as well when you get stuck. So what am I saying here? I'm saying, look, let us not over mystify the Holy Spirit. Like, oh, Holy Spirit, no. We appreciate God and we honor God, but Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, these are some of the things that He will do. So how do we experience this? Very simple. We just experience this as we believe and begin to say, God, okay, I don't understand this comfort thing that Pastor B is talking about. But anytime you're experiencing that kind of pressure, pray and say, God, help me. Anytime there's something you can't quite figure out, then pray. Anytime you are afraid, pray. It's as simple as that. It is as simple as that. So, what is this power that we're talking about? How do you receive this power? That's a completely different thing that we'll look at. But today, I just wanted to bring the Holy Spirit to us in the simplicity of the Bible. So that whether you're 10 years old, 9 years old, Brother Bua is looking like, I'm the only 10-year-old, 9-year-old here, is he talking to me? Whether you're 16, 30, 50, 70, it's still the same simple approach that God puts to us. Simple approach. So this morning, I'd like us to just rise and pray. One thing I believe strongly is, for me, I don't make the Word of God complicated at all. The Word of God is simple. God doesn't want us to experience any complication. He's just really straightforward in His Word. God wants the Bible to be experienced in our lives. He wants us to experience the benefit of being believers. He sent the Holy Spirit. So this morning, we're just going to pray. And the prayer I want us to pray this morning is, God, help me to remember the Holy Spirit when I am in a position where I need comfort. When I am afraid, Holy Spirit, help me. When I need help and I don't know what to do, Holy Spirit, help me. So it's a simple prayer between you and God this morning. That Holy Spirit, I want to experience you as Jesus said this morning. Going forward. Father, we just want to thank you. I thank you for your people this morning. Let's just, it's a personal prayer between you and God this morning. Holy Spirit, I thank you. Father, we thank you. Jesus, you could have just left us by ourselves, but you did not do so. You gave us the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, even as we focus on you this month, I'm asking, Father, that you will release your Spirit to us, grace in abundance in the name of Jesus. Father, I speak in the name of Jesus for everyone who is experiencing any kind of pressure. Lord, your word says that you're the one that comforts us in all our comfort, in all our tribulations. I speak comfort to every situation that you're going through in the name of Jesus. Father, for everyone that needs direction, I speak clarity, clarity. I speak clarity to you in the name of Jesus. Father, for everyone that is afraid, you have said that you will never leave us or forsake us. Lord, I speak comfort to that situation, to every situation that is causing us to be fearful. Father, we give you praise.